This is the KNBR Podcast Network. Time now for Pauly's Podcast, featuring Pauly Mack of KNBR's Murph and Mack Morning Show on KNBR, the sports leader.
Okay, everybody, we're back in our usual places. Well, again, this has been part of the challenge of the COVID era that, and this is not COVID-related. I should maybe rearrange this opening, but I'm just saying, like, we're not at full strength today. We are missing one of our limbs. We got no Shannon Kaler today. And as I look across the desk at my main man for decades now, decades, you believe that? You and I go in decades. How about this? Creative Tony, Pauly Mack, into our third decade of existence together.
Pretty nice.
Because we met in the 90s, mm-hmm. went through the O's.
Yep.
Quite comfortable. Actually, wait a minute. Wait, I got to rethink this stuff. So hold on. We met in the 90s. That's one decade covered.
97 we met.
Then we go aughts or whatever you call the early 2000s. So that's 2000 to 10. That's decade number two. Dude, I think we're in our fourth decade because 10 to 20 is another decade. We're in our fourth decade.
Technically fourth decade, yes.
That's wild and wacky.
You know, who would have
thunk, Paul? My life has been more enriched since, I'm not even kidding. For example, Creative Tony and I got a great response on this. First of all, how's it going?
Good, man. I got my Giorgio shirt on today. I'm going to go get a slice of pie after
Giorgio's,
the podcast.
And the hat is a what related now?
This is the drummer from Fish. I wore this before.
What does it have to mean, the circle? There's a red circle.
It's the circle. He wears a muumuu, basically, when he drums.
What's
it has
the circle?
The design of circles all
meaning?
Over it. Like donuts. It started with a woman that he was hanging out with
donuts.
way back.
Donuts.
She had extra fabric laying around, and somebody that he was with said, why don't you make a muumuu out of that? I dare you to wear it at the show. And Joan Fishman wore it, and the rest is history.
My wife
Plus, have you ever, we've talked about this before, and I'm not ashamed to admit that worn a dress, and I wish dresses were more acceptable in men's fashion, because the comfort and the freedom that you feel.
The ability to swing.
The flow.
Yeah, and the swing side to side. You know,
that's why the kilt. There's something to the kilt, man.
No question. You know, my wife came out the other day over the weekend. I think it was Sunday. We had the game on. It was hot. It was really hot in
our
house.
What game, Paul?
Probably the 49er game.
Yeah, I would bet.
Which we're going to delve into in a big way.
Oh, Jimmy.
But she came walking out like this white kind of, like, sundressy kind of thing. And I go, you know, I think that looks so effing comfortable.
Unbelievable.
And I was hot in shorts and tee. And I'm like, I should, just like you said, Tony, I go, I really wish.
Well, how many times you've been sitting in a chair and your pants are riding up?
Yeah, they go right between.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't like it.
I did a lot of shifting.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm saying I agree with you. And she looked comfortable. You in a dress. Fishman in a dress.
Yeah.
I always think about the last thing. And then I go back to our summit meeting last week. Because every time I see the circle, I think about the Germs, the punk rock band, the Germs.
Yeah, you said this before.
They've had that circle on the cover. I forget the name of the record now.
Well, it's also a sign of infinity,
one.
Paul.
Circle One. Yeah, that's exactly Circle One. Yeah, man. Anyway, shout out Darby Crash and the Germs.
Shout out John Fishman and Fish.
Shout out Pat Smear, who started in the Germs, and now you can catch him in the Foo Fighters.
Oh,
Tony, our
Taylor
lives.
Taylor Hawkins with Charlie Watts on the drum head, the face of his kick drum.
I go Hawkins pretty much as often as I can.
Mm-hmm.
And also, Tony, so we're talking about how you've enriched my life
since
I met you. And
vice versa.
Here's another.
It's a two-way street, Paul.
Right. Yeah. Right. See, the gifts of exchange. You know, you give me an Alice in Chains, I'll say, have you heard Robin Zander?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's things we can do for each other.
Nice.
And Tony did something for me the other day because he took me down to this place called the Canyon Inn in Redwood City. I mentioned this to Brian Murphy, my partner on the Eminem show. He was not familiar with this place, which surprised me. He fancies himself a Bay Area. He's pretty knowledgeable, like, on all the nooks and crannies of the Bay Area. He didn't know about the Canyon Inn. You opened my eyes to this, like, 49. This is like a 49er haven going on. I got love on the text line when I mentioned it.
Oh, did you really?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah, it's right there smack dab in Redwood City.
How many years have you been going to the Canyon Inn?
Since I was a kid.
Really?
Yeah,
because your dad's, because I'm a fan of your dad. Is he?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
How about your Uncle Paul?
Yes, absolutely. Because the 49ers used to work out before they went to Rockland and before they just started working out at Eddie DiBartolo Way.
Shout out Eddie D.
Is it DiBartolo or DiBartolo in your
it
world?
It depends. I've heard both. I say
I know,
DiBartolo.
Right? I say DiBartolo,
DiBartolo.
Except for just now, I said DiBartolo.
So I have no problem with that.
Right.
Sounds stately.
It's like you say Santa Cruz
and I say Santa Cruz. Santa Cruz. I know most people do. Yeah.
I'm
the exception.
No, but anyways, they used to work out at Red Morton Park in Redwood City. And the owner of the Canyon Inn, legend has it, said, you know, I want to have like a 49er season kickoff tailgate at my restaurant, the Canyon Inn. And John McVay, former owner of the Niners, came in, had lunch, And they worked it out. And it turned out that that started being like the local hangout for some of the Niners when they would work out there.
Well, so, the amount of 49er like history they have on the walls.
We're talking 81. And I believe you ordered the Hacksaw Burger, which
is named after
Jim Hacksaw Reynolds.
I had no used to drive to the game in full pads.
That's amazing. Number 64.
I had no
choice.
For all
you kids out there listening.
It was a great burger. I'm glad I did that.
It was a ferocious looking burger, man.
Well, you know, that was the day of the Kiss concert. So yes. I was trying to load up on a heavy, heavy meal. So I was good going in to see the hottest band in the world at Shoreline, which I did with Adam Copeland. Anyway, Copes, I'm sorry, Tony, there's a lot happening.
Pyrotechnics involved on
excessive pyrotechnics. Mm-hmm. They blew this place to bits.
It's amazing.
As they do. No, they really did.
No, it's amazing. It's amazing. They've basically done that every show they've ever played.
I wonder how much money it costs to put that show on every night. It must be extremely expensive.
Could you imagine if they had like pyrotechnics at just like random baseball games? All of a sudden, strike three.
Yeah, well, maybe we're getting there, actually.
I don't know. Who knows?
Could happen at some point.
Pyrotechnics
says the Giants are the first team in the major leagues to clinch, Tony. Your thoughts, your reactions, go.
They clinched with 18 games left on the schedule.
As we record this on
Wednesday.
It's Wednesday, September 15th.
Fly balls and feelings, Paulie.
Played it today.
It's a beautiful game.
The Giants, as we record this on September 15th, are sitting at 95 wins. I'm not holding you at anything, but just a casual kind of prediction. How many wins do you think they wind up with?
100. So I would really love for them to eclipse the 97 team's record of 103 wins. So I'd love 104.
That's 93.
I'm sorry. I got my numbers mixed up.
Yeah,
93 team with 103 wins. I'd like to them eclipse that to 107. I mean, 104.
I feel 104, too.
Yeah,
I
104.
Feel the same thing.
You know, like the old K-Fog 104.5. That is now our sister bandwidth.
It kind of bumps me out. I feel like you go to 104.5. Can I get an Annalisa, a Grappone, a Bill Evans with the ponytail? Anything.
You know, I smoke two joints in the morning, Paul, but I will say.
Bill Evans. Oh, do you want to go see the Stones in Oakland tonight? Because I got tickets.
Oh, I'm like, Bill Evans, shut up.
Yes.
For the listeners out there, first of all, thank you for listening. And second of all, Bill Evans was the former program director of K-Fog, and he used to just literally gift people with tickets.
He also put me in the house to go see the Metallica at the Fillmore.
See, the thing was, he was like Santa Claus walking around here. I was working
I remember.
Didn't even see him coming.
He was a big
fan
of yours.
And he just threw tickets over my shoulder. Second row, Robert Plant, Jimmy Page. Remember the Plant and Page tour?
I remember it. Opened with the Wonton song.
Do you think Jimmy Garoppolo likes Gallows Pole? Do you think he listens to Gallows Pole?
I like it.
I do.
I think I see my brother coming. Oh, man. Riding many miles, dude. The greatest.
What a riff.
I see my brother coming, riding many miles.
Incredible.
I might have to get a gallows. Can I get like a 10-second gallows drop right here just for my head?
You bet. Come on.
The better for that. And shout out Zeppelin 3. Nobody wants to talk about Zeppelin 3 the same way nobody wants to talk about Gabe's Babes. Here's the thing.
The vibe. And, you know, Longoria literally said those words after they clinched. He's like, it's a vibe in here.
It is a vibe.
And
Buster Posey said in the paper last night after the game, he goes, I couldn't ask. He goes, if you assemble the team built to go through 162 and into the postseason, he goes, I couldn't have put together a better group than this one right here. Like, Buster seems very, not emotional.
Well, I think he's getting
appreciative.
He knows it's he's in the final quarter of his career.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, I need to cherish this as much as possible. And I think that he can compare and contrast because he's been there, done that. And this team, man, the selflessness of this team. And again, it starts at the top, man. And you got to, there is a vibe created. And Bochy, we're recording this Wednesday. Bochy was on our airwaves yesterday with Pop and Lund, and you know his vibe was thick too.
I love Bruce. I think we'll see him back in the bigs, Tony.
I hope so.
I don't think he's done.
He's a lifer baseball. He's like the Springsteen of baseball. Where he's just going to manage until
can't help himself.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's such a 9 games. So we're recording this Wednesday. 9 straight wins. First time in 17 years they've done that. I have friends that that I've met through, like, my son's Little League and stuff that are big Dodger fans and stuff.
Go ahead, Tony.
You're really good people, except for the fact that they are Dodger fans. But it's funny. My buddy's son showed up to practice in a Dodgers T-shirt. And I think he expected me to be like, boo, or whatever. And I go, you know what? You're from down there. You keep rocking that.
Okay.
You keep rocking that. You stay true to that.
Yeah.
I said, I'm going to rock my orange and black.
Yeah.
And then.
How old's this kid?
7.
Yeah. What are you going to do? You're going to yell at a kid? Right, right.
No, right, right. No, but still, he came up to me. He's like, hey, coach, what do you think? What do you think?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, because he knew I was a Giants fan.
Yeah.
So anyways, my point being is that Dodger fans are extremely frustrated right now.
I think it's starting to creep out because Kershaw even acknowledged it the other night. He said something like, well, if the Giants ever lose, maybe we'll, like, they're starting to admit that they're frustrated.
Exactly, because they're playing really good ball.
And meanwhile, Gabe doesn't give a like, sorry about that.
No.
Gabe's like, you know, I got no time for your feelings because I'm out here with Kai. Dude. Kai and I, the Gabe Kapler story.
I think about how many people, that's their first major league champagne shower.
Yeah.
So many people on that roster from the coaching staff.
And they enjoyed it, too.
Oh, my goodness,
did you see
man.
The bath they gave Wotus at the end? Yeah, a lot of love there.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
So it's just, the vibe is so thick. I heard somebody mention that, oh, you know, they shouldn't be celebrating this early. And then God bless Dwayne Kuiper for so many reasons.
How about the fact that he called the clinch game?
I know.
And sounded great.
On a Monday night, he said, I'm not staying home. I'm going. I'm going to the yard.
And then he did our show the next morning.
The best.
Yeah.
The best. But he said, he goes, of course you celebrate. What if they go out and lose the wild card? Then you didn't celebrate when you had a chance to celebrate.
That's like, a good point.
He goes, you have to celebrate these times because they're so few and far between.
Yeah.
And listening to guys like Longoria said, the post-game rap, which I've preached about on this podcast many times.
Yeah.
It's must-listen radio, either live or the next morning.
Yeah.
The next day, go to KMBR.com/podcasts, and you can just go find the post-game rap. They did a 35-minute post-game wrap after they clinched on Monday night, and Flam was down in the dugout getting people to come on with him. He had Kapler, he had Gossman, he had, I forget who else. But anyway, he was down in the dugout, and Gossman was saying how great it was to have the champagne shower, and Longoria was saying, I can't, you know, it's been so long since I've had a champagne, shower had tasted champagne.
Yeah, yeah.
And to hear how happy he was.
Yeah.
You
could see it on their faces.
To have that experience.
Appreciation. They're
so
all like
cool.
Like, I thought Crawford and Belt were like that, too. There was, like, a sense of, like, appreciation for being back in that moment, you know?
Yes, and you know, I kind of like to bet. I'm kind of a gambling man.
You've been known,
but just small amounts of money.
Yeah.
But I'm saying that I would have thought that the Giants would have come out and, again, we're recording this Wednesday. They won Tuesday night.
They've won 9 in a row.
They won Tuesday night 6-1. That was the game after they clinched. I would have thought for
sure. Hangover game, right? They go to sleep, they get crushed.
Right.
7-1 maybe, go home, we'll try again tomorrow.
Totally.
By the way, I'm going tonight.
Nice.
I'll be out there tonight.
I'm going tomorrow,
Thursday. I'm going with, how about this crew I'm bringing up there tonight? I'm going with Moselle, Barry Sless, and Michael from
Iron Springs.
It's the Iron Springs crew, basically, and yours truly.
Sless is more.
Will Sless wear a tie-dye tank top and show guns with the headband at a Giants game? Just asking.
He has a responsibility to do so.
He could show guns now.
Dude, you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if Barry Sless walked in with, like, a scorebook and keeps book during the game.
Yeah, I can't talk to you right now. Hold on.
He's a baseball head.
Love that.
The few times that I've been lucky enough to play with you and him at Iron Springs, he wants to talk ball.
Yeah, that's what they do.
That's
all
they
all
want to
talk
do is talk ball.
And I want to talk guitars. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, well, like, because I want to talk about music and he wants to talk ball.
Totally.
Yeah. And all these guys are like that. All these musicians are like that.
Well, it's funny. Like, I used to have a rule back in the day where I would wear music shirts to baseball games and baseball shirts to music shows.
Yeah.
Like, I would kind of try and mix it up.
What about a Niner shirt? You mentioned Jimmy Garoppolo a little while ago. Can you wear a Niner shirt to a concert, or is that forbidden?
So let's go broader terms.
We do have Niners to talk about as well.
Athletic gear to musical events. Musical gear to athletic events.
I understand.
You follow?
You're saying winter sports in the summer, summer sports in the winter.
Yes.
Something like that.
By the way, congratulations to Michael Nash and Sound Summit. You were out there.
Oh, what a great show, man. It was, and shout out Lucas Nelson.
Mm.
Holy smokes,
and
what a great set. Yeah, man, that's a hell of a band he's got there.
So that's the band that's in The Star Is Born, by the way.
That's the band that's in The Star Is Born that backs Bradley Cooper and all of those songs. They are all good songs in the movie. All of those are written by Lucas Nelson.
The guy is – and listen to their most recent album. The first track, it sounds so much like his dad, Willie.
What is it? Stars Among Us? Something like that. Yeah, he played the title track At the show on Saturday.
Did he play that?
He did. Okay. He did. He was on the piano for that one.
And also, I heard that there was a little eruption, upright bass eruption.
Holy smokes! Did Lucas's bass player took a solo and did a note-for-note recreation of Eruption. Tony, it was amazing.
That's great. By the way,
was amazing.
A Few Stars Apart is the new album.
I knew stars were involved. Yeah. I knew there were stars.
Yep.
Speaking of stars, I could.
Yes, and particles and stars and everything aligning these days, Paul.
Well, that's
and
why.
And worlds are colliding. We got 49ers and Giants.
That's where I was trying to take us. I wanted to do a blinker, put my blinker on and turn onto Niner Lane. Because we got highs and lows now because, Tony, there's a win the other day.
Yes.
You jump out. You got something quick.
Oh, just quick diversion. This is starting to happen to me now, and I realize that I'm becoming my father, that I don't realize that the blinker's on when I'm driving.
Yeah.
Has that happened to you?
Of course. You know.
And I look down, and I'm like, oh, man, good. The blinker's on. How long has that been on?
There are worse offenses out there, but it's definitely old man related.
Yes,
like, just driving along. Just like, you know, got the radio on.
Hey, how long has that thing
guys
been on?
Guys driving by shrugging at you. What's your deal, man? Hey. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, and usually it's because I have music on way too loud.
Yeah, join the club, bro.
Right.
So that's
why I don't hear the blinker. So there is somewhat of a reason. But, Paulie, go Niners.
Well, I got questions. I love talking football with Tony because you're one of the, in my opinion, you're one of the more level-headed, reasonable guys to talk Niners. People get very reactionary now. One bad pass, one bad snap. Oh, this guy's got to go. He's the worst. I got to.
Right.
It's a long season.
Yeah.
And you got to calm down and let this thing play out. Now, first off, I want to say I was very happy with what I saw from Garoppolo.
Mm-hmm.
There's some concerns there defensively for sure, so I want to pick your brain on that stuff. But we start this podcast today with the news hot off the presses that the Niners have lost Raheem Mostert
for the
whole year. I want to say, Tony, that I am a big fan of his on the field. And the times that we've had him on the show, I mean, he is an extremely likable guy, a really good guy. So I'm sorry. I'm sad. I'm sad about the loss, and I'm sad that we won't see him. And I'm more sad for he and his family. He's going to, you know, miss this whole year, and then he's going to have to rehab. And
did you notice, too, the first few plays from scrimmage, he was, like, had that burst.
Well, no, he's the fastest, one of the fastest guys, maybe the fastest guy.
But I was so excited to see him back and see
too.
That burst. It was like, there he is.
Mosterati.
I know,
as
the
Tim
Mosterati.
Ryan calls him.
It is such a bummer because he's not just a great football player, but he's a great clubhouse guy. The players love him.
They do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really. And he loves being a part of this team. And it's just, you know, hearing Garoppolo and some other guys after the game talk.
Yeah, you can tell there's a real fondness.
They were really sad and bummed because the amount of work that they knew that he put in to get back.
I know.
And
let it out. That's why the podcast. That's why we're here.
This is a negative thing, but I just want to voice it, man. Is that I saw on social media that Raheem's wife
awful. I saw this too.
That she was getting
hate
mail.
What's the matter with people?
Hate mail because
the guy
got hurt.
And it's
about fantasy football.
People, clean it up, man. Seriously, clean this up. These are people.
But you know what I'm tired of, Paulie, is what I like to call keyboard courage, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where people are saying things because it's easy to type something to somebody you don't know that you'll never know, see.
Yeah, that's why I don't go on this stuff. Honestly, this is why I don't do it.
I try to focus on the positives of the social media. You do see, like, a lot of the podcasts I listen to, a lot of the stuff we post from our stuff or the station. Or great photos from the digital department or video montages or the Giants and Niners post really good stuff. See stuff all around the country and the world. Like, I like that aspect. But then you get this side of it, and it's like, people, I mean, we're talking about the guy's livelihood. We're talking about the woman literally goes on social media just to, I don't know, maybe take a break from her day. And she gets blasted with hate mail.
I was really upset about that.
So it just made me really sad.
Me
so I just
too.
Want to send some love to Raheem and his wife.
Yes, Tony. Awesome. I'm joining you in that effort as well. And by the way, I'm just checking the clock real quick. Are we good or
do I
go to break?
We're good.
Okay. So Niners now. Where is a Tony creative? And by the way, I never even said I was about to, and then I went off. Shannon Kaler's not here today. I was about 20 minutes ago. I was going to tell you that.
Can we just say where he is?
He's taking love shots with his lover, I think. Aren't they love shots, meaning the photographs?
Yes.
Some kind of formal photography session.
The
guy's canceling work now to do photo shoots. Not for the band.
No.
No, this is for the what are these for? What are these for?
But one thing you'll always get here on the podcast.
I got a photo shoot, man.
On Paulie's podcast, you'll always get transparency. Right?
Well, there's no other way.
And
it's the only way we know.
Shannon's not here. He was, you know, We said we'd do it Wednesday this week.
It's not a lover's walk or anything, is it?
He is not here because he is
taking... Maybe we should say a partner's walk.
He's taking engagement photos.
Oh, there you go. Now, what do you use those for? I don't think I did this. I don't know.
Maybe for the wedding invitation? I don't know.
What if I don't want a photo on my invitation?
But I just... Can you picture Shannon like he's maybe holding a sunflower in his teeth?
Oh, dude. Well, looking at her lovingly.
Maybe he's kneeling and she's standing.
Oh, there's no question.
Yeah.
He's got his head on her shoulder looking up at her. You know what I mean? They're on the... Maybe some beach stuff.
Maybe they're both like planting a tree together.
How about having a splash fight on Ocean Beach? You know,
the best. So Shannon's not here.
His pants rolled up to the knees. I don't want to get my slacks wet, man.
That's why Shannon's not here.
Anyway, that's a true story.
Yeah, it's very true story.
Did you do engagement photos?
No.
I don't think I ever did that.
No, we did wedding photos. But I remember telling the photographer saying, "We're getting the wedding photos done right after the ceremony because." As soon as the ceremony's done...
Yeah, we're on the dance floor.
We're on the dance floor. We're partying. I don't want to try and rally everybody back together.
No. It's a good call.
But back to Niners.
Yeah, and are you... Look, can I ask you about Jimmy? I would like to hear your thoughts on Jimmy, because you were texting me during the game.
Yeah.
And you didn't like the way Trey was inserted into that game for the touchdown. Now, you know what's interesting, and I want your thoughts, but one more thing. Yesterday, we had Jimmy Garoppolo on the Murph and Mac show.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody's interested, you missed it, you can catch it on our podcast, a link there on the
KMBR.com/podcast.
Thanks,
just look
bro.
For Jimmy Garoppolo and Murph.
And it's
Mac.
A good piece. And at one point, Murph goes, "Hey, was it hard to hug Trey after that touchdown?" And Jimmy goes, "Yeah, it wasn't easy."
Well, yeah, because Mark Sanchez said that during
That's
the broadcast.
Why? Yes.
And I heard it and I said, "That's a really good point Sanchez made because..."
So you seem to have felt the same way because you texted me like, "Hey, I'm not crazy about this." So speak to that.
First of all, let me preface it by saying I'm glad the Niners won. I'm glad that Trey Lance executed a touchdown to Trent Sherfield and, you know, that they were up 7-0. But the message or the vibe that you're sending to your starting quarterback in the opening drive
of
the game.
And he had just gotten him down there, too.
That I'm going to take you out, and I'm putting in this guy who you're worried about taking your job.
Yeah, and so he can get the glory.
And he's going to score the first touchdown.
Which he did.
I just didn't like that as far as chemistry. And that's what...
So is that a... Do you could direct that at Shanahan? I mean, it's his decision.
Yeah, it's his decision.
Yeah. I wasn't crazy about it either.
Shanahan.
I'm with you.
Don't get me wrong.
I do, too.
I love Shanahan. I think we're so lucky to have
him. I would have been nice to let Jimmy finish that one off, though.
Finish the drive.
And then maybe stick Trey in the next one.
Right.
I don't know. Because I
thought it was a little hasty to just push Trey Lance in first drive and have him score the touchdown. I think Jimmy deserved to finish that drive.
Yeah.
And I think... The point that Sanchez was making is that we're lucky that it's Garoppolo that we have with the demeanor and the class and the egoless approach that he's taking where, hey, we scored a touchdown, we're up 7-0, right? Which is what the Giants have. That's why they're successful. This is what the Niners have to have, is what Garoppolo has to have.
Yep.
But I just thought, you know, first drive of the season, let's actually get on Jimmy's shoulders and give him that extra boost of confidence on the first drive of the season.
Yes.
You follow
me? I do follow you. I actually have a very similar feelings about that.
Yeah. I mean, we're probably analyzing it too much.
No, well, maybe not, though, because I don't know. It's a good... I don't know if we are or not, but I will say that I think Garoppolo's handling this extremely well, too. I don't think he gets nearly enough credit for what he's done in his time in the league, done with the 49ers. I mean, guys won a lot of games for the Niners.
Right.
When he was able to quarterback a whole season, they were in the Super Bowl. It's hard to... I'm not with the haters. There's a lot of anti-Jimmy G guys. And again, for me...
How?
I don't know. Because it's
the
always...
Dude, Paulie, he's 24-9 as a starter.
I back him. I back him.
And first of all, he's not an a-hole.
He's the opposite.
He's a class act.
Yeah, he's...
He seems like a really fun guy to be around. I think the team loves him. Kittle loves him.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, I don't see how people don't like Jimmy Garoppolo. Sure. He's not Brady. He's not Mahomes. He's not, the second coming of whoever. But he's a damn good quarterback.
Yes.
And we have a great chance of winning the football game when he's under center.
I also think that, you know, if you really want to be realistic, I think you have to kind of tamper. Like, I don't think Trey's ready. I don't think Trey Lance is ready. Like, People want to rush him out there.
Did you see any of the other rookie quarterbacks last Sunday? Did you see Trevor Lawrence get manhandled all day?
I did. Zach Wilson. I watched
picks
all those
four
guys.
Picks?
Yeah, yeah.
Zach Wilson did not look good.
You can't throw these guys
Justin
in the fire.
Justin Fields didn't look good.
It's rare. Like, yeah, yeah.
I mean, come on. Reality has to set in at some point.
Right.
That's all.
Well, I'm with you, Tony, on these takes, actually. So what do we do? Let's pause because we got Big Steve Moskowitz.
Man, you got me all worked up, man.
I'm sorry. I know it's been a long season, too, man. And I'm slightly worried about Philly, but I will tell you this. I don't look at this Philly Eagles game like it's just a layup.
No,
I think this is going to be a fight.
No, this is going to be a dogfight.
It's their home opener.
Yes, dogfight.
And Jalen Hurts, man, watch enough of that guy in college at Bama and Oklahoma to know that kid competes. Mm-hmm. Like, you think he's got nothing left. Sometimes he looks slow, and then all of a sudden he starts making plays.
Yep.
That kid competes. He makes me nervous.
And remember, we've talked about this before in the past, that the Niners defense before,
Guys were waltzing right up the middle of the field in Detroit.
I know, but they struggled with the mobile quarterbacks.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And here's what we don't struggle with, though. We don't struggle with mobile tax attorneys. We support them. And Steve Moskowitz is one of those guys. He's a lateral side-to-side guy. He'll go north-south, but he'll work the sidelines. Hey, Steve Moskowitz, our very good friend and sponsor. We're going to talk to him next on the podcast. Then we're going to come back with some final thoughts, final riffs on Shannon Kaler and his lover's photos, and then
Sunflowers.
Musical assignment as well. And it's a big one today because Shannon's not here to give it to us. He had a photo shoot.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have to make one up ourselves. But in the meantime, Steve Moskowitz coming up next on the Polymac Podcast, KMBR 680-1045, the sports leader. Okay, everybody, we're back on the Polymac Podcast right here on KMBR 680 and 104.5, the sports leader. Hey, you know, every week on the podcast, we take out a few minutes. If you're new, welcome aboard. And we'd like to talk to our good friend, Steve Moskowitz, tax attorney here in San Francisco. Also happens to be not only a good friend of the program and a friend of ours, he's also the very proud sponsor of the podcast. So we bring Steve in with just general questions that are floating around the tax-paying community, which includes all of us. And today, Steve, as I say good morning to you, I thought maybe you could shed a little bit of light on asset protection, especially if people are out there that own rental properties. Can you tell us a little bit, Steve, about how they can save and protect those properties?
Yes, this is very important. You know, a lot of people are landlords and they may own, you know, a very small unit. And most people, I say, well, how do you own it? And they say, well, they own it in their own name. Wrong, wrong, wrong. You want to have it in an entity name. And here's why. Suppose you have this situation. Your tenant gets rip-roaring drunk, falls down, and severely injures himself. He's going to sue you and say that the reason he got severely injured was not because he was rip-roaring drunk, but because you didn't maintain the floor properly. And
right.
The jury says, well, you know, you're a landlord, so you're inherently evil. And we're going to give the plaintiff everything that he wants. And if that amount is in excess of your insurance, that plaintiff can take everything that you have. So we don't want that to happen. And what I want to caution people about, you know, most people don't think about lawsuits all day like we do as lawyers. And unfortunately, one lawsuit can wipe out a lifetime of working and savings, and that's it. And the plaintiff says, you still owe me money, pay up, I'm going to take everything you have.
Wow.
So what happens is, you want to put the property in an entity.
Okay.
And suppose we're a little bit bigger landlord. Suppose you have 10 rental properties. You say, okay, I'm going to go ahead and put the 10 properties in the entity. No, no, no. You want to put in 10 separate entities. So if you have 10 properties, you have 10 entities. Why is that?
Yeah.
Because now if the plaintiff sues you, worst case, the max he or she can take is that one entity. All your other entities are safe.
Nice.
Your personal assets are safe. This is so important. Another way to think about it is a super cheap insurance policy.
Okay.
That is so vitally important. That's why you only put one property in one entity. Now, you know, we've been talking a few minutes and I haven't talked about taxes. And, you know, when it goes more than a few minutes, I don't talk about taxes. You know,
sure.
I don't talk about taxes.
Yeah, you get a little shaky.
Who doesn't, right?
Yeah.
So what happens, suppose the client says, well, okay, you know, they live here in California, and in order to form, say, an LLP, there's an $800 franchise fee you pay to the state. And they say, well, wait a minute, Steve, you know, if I form these 10 entities, that's 10 times 800, that's $8,000. You know, that starts to add up, buddy. And I say, I have some good news for you. The state issued a ruling that now what we can do is, in that example with the 10 entities,
yeah,
we can set up one LLC and 9 partnerships.
Nice.
Have the partnerships partner with the LLP. So for asset protection purposes, you have 10 separate entities. So if you get sued, the max loss is the one entity.
Okay.
But for paying franchise fees, you pay one fee of $800, not 10 fees of $800.
Nice.
This is how I spend my days, Paul.
No, this is good. Well, this is the kind of, see, this is, to me, this is very good sound advice, because it's almost like, Steve, I can make an analogy where if someone is new to the Bay Area and you were to say, hey, how do I get to San Jose? You could say, well, take 101, or you talk to a guy like Steve who's got alternate routes. See, that's why I think today is important, Steve. You talk about ways that we can all protect our assets, whether they're properties or otherwise. Yeah, you study this all day, but it's really for our benefit. So thank you.
Absolutely. It's like a doctor, you know. I hope the doctor spends all of his or her day with medicines and new procedures and say, hey, well, you know, now the way to treat that is not the way your grandfather treated it.
No.
But there's a much better way now.
I like it. Okay, Steve, well, this is a good one, especially with the 10 different entities. That was really interesting to me. And again, Steve will always share this information for all of us. There's no charge here. So take this advice to heart from Steve Moskowitz. We'll do it again next week, Steve. But asset protection today, double thumbs up, man. I like everything you said.
And in our next podcast, we're going to talk about other advantages in being an entity. But I'm going to ask all the listeners, you keep listening to Paulie Mac on KNBR, the sports leader.
And we're back on the Paulie Mac podcast. Thank you, Big Steve Moskowitz. Nobody like Steve.
Nobody beats the wits.
No, nobody does beat the wits. Right. They've tried it and they've all failed.
Yes.
Which is why we like having them on our side. Tony, it's time for the musical assignment. I can't
not
mess
yet,
around.
Paul.
Oh, because we got final thoughts.
Yeah. Final thoughts on Philly. I'm worried. I shouldn't say I'm worried.
I know. I'm with you on this, but I'm not totally confident. Niners are depleted now.
And what's the Ayuk stuff is kind of intriguing.
Shanahan will go doghouse with guys. Which did this to Dante Pettis, too. He put him right in the doghouse.
And Tim Ryan put it very bluntly on your show on Monday morning, saying, you know, Kyle will be hard on these guys. He will be hard with them.
I bet
them.
You he's a ball buster, man.
And that's good. Fine.
Yeah.
But it's just interesting because Ayuk had such a great season last year.
We're going to get great. I'm
but it was just weird. He didn't even have a catch.
I thought it was very odd that Trey Sermon wasn't even suited up.
Right.
Like, because he had such a great preseason. I mean, totally. I'm sure we're going to see him now.
Debo doing very, very well.
Oh,
another
Debo.
Great game. And
oh.
How about the Yak Bros, man? The yards after catch for
he's
Debo.
He's one of the Yak Bros.
Debo.
Yeah. I love that one, by the way.
It's a good one.
I love
it's a good
that one.
One. That's a good one.
Because it starts off where he goes, yeah, but one of the Yak Bros. One of the, you know, we just jump in with that line. It's fun. Touchdown!
Me, Brandon, I, you, part of the Yak Bros.
He's one of the Yak Bros. Debo.
Part of the Yak Bros. Yak Bros.
Debo's on the money. Debo's in the flow. Debo's breaking for the end zone. Debo.
Yes, and we're going to do some songs next week,
oh,
by the way.
Oh, lots of songs coming. For real, I got a whole list.
Yeah, no, we're going to have some fun. I want to do a Farhan song. But
We need to.
Absolutely, and get the laugh all over the place. But Ayuk was such a weapon last year that to have him have no catches, did they throw his way?
I don't think so.
Right.
I know this is, there's some oddities there
and
sometimes.
The Sherfield kid looks good and he had a great camp.
I like Sherfield.
You know,
well, you're surprised. I'm not
second guessing Kyle Shanahan. I'm just saying it was such a surprise and I miss Ayuk.
Yeah.
Like, you know, remember he hurdled over that guy last year.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm hoping, and Tim Ryan did say that we'll see plenty of Ayuk, and that's fine. So
Speaking of plenty, did you see the amount of holds that were going on with Nick Bosa?
What is that?
They were locking his arms.
But it's like the Super Bowl.
And just like
all over
running
again.
Him and not a flag, not one.
It's
not
literally
one.
Like the Super Bowl.
And
over
as
again.
Long as they let these guys do that, it's going to keep happening until they start flagging that. But it was getting to the point, like if you watch in the fourth quarter, and I generally don't do a lot of complaining about the refs because, mm-hmm.
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
But this was getting extreme, Tony. I'm talking snap after snap.
Mm-hmm.
Bosa would come off the line, come up out of his stance, and the guy opposite him on the O-line would literally lock his arms under Bosa's and just basically pin his arms and run him out of the way. That's a freaking hole.
There were a couple of plays I saw where Bosa had his man beat, and the guy would just have his arm around Bosa's chest.
Oh, like chest, hugging him. Like, dragging him.
And it's like, okay, I guess that's not a hold.
No, I don't. I mean, I'll call it once in a while to keep guys honest.
Does Bosa sound like the classic stoner of all stoners when he talks?
He does.
It's amazing.
Now, is that a coincidence or something, too?
I don't know, Paul, but like,
hey, you got to take the edge off.
The post game, like, because he's such
CBDs.
He plays the game with such ferocity.
Yeah.
And then
he's
got
a really chill voice. Yeah, dude.
He's like, hey
yeah.
I love these guys.
Wild game, man.
I love this team.
Yeah, he's a very chill guy.
You know? like the best. It's
Jekyll and Jekyll and Hyde.
Totally. Yin and Yang, Jekyll and Hyde.
It was great. It's always good to be back on the field and with the team and just back in the routine. And I love this team, so it's always an honor to play with them.
So I would hope that he would, people were worried about the defense. I thought the defense played well until the fourth quarter when they kind of took the foot off the gas and Detroit put the foot on the gas.
They did. I thought Jared Goff made some pretty nice throws, too.
Yeah, he did.
In the fourth quarter.
He did.
With the game on the line, he was making plays.
But that's a pocket passer. It's going to be interesting to see how the Niners handle the mobile quarterback in Jalen Hurts because they've struggled against Lamar Jackson, against Russell Wilson, against Kyler Murray. Those guys are all in the same vein as Hurts.
You know what's funny, Tony, is a lot of people now, because football is such a trendy sport, when something works, everyone gets a copycat thing.
Right.
We saw it with the Niners for a long time, people trying to do their own version of the Bill Walsh offense. I'm just throwing this out there, and I want to hear your thoughts, and then we'll go musical assignment very soon.
Yeah.
But people say you got to have a mobile quarterback. That's why Trey Lance – but you really – I mean – Tom Brady just won a Super Bowl standing in the pocket again.
Totally.
You don't have to play the game that way. That's a very big trend in the game. But my point is, for higher risk of injuring your quarterback when he's running around the open field.
Yeah.
All I know is...
they had to tell Steve Young to stop taking on linebackers.
Steve couldn't help himself.
And
he couldn't help himself.
Yeah, totally. It's what I loved about him.
I know you did. I know.
I will say, any of the great quarterbacks in the NFL have had great offensive lines as well.
Yeah.
Brady is playing behind a great offensive line right now.
He always does.
The 90s Cowboys, Troy Aikman had a great O-line.
Joe's 80s Niners. Yeah.
And do you notice the O-line played very well against the Lions, and Garoppolo looked very good. If you give him time, Garoppolo will be fine. Give him time. So I have nothing against the pocket passer attack.
Nor do I.
I actually like the pocket passer attack.
Whatever wins games.
It's a fun thing to watch, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fun to watch Lamar Jackson. On Monday night, that Raider-Ravens game was insane.
Yeah, very entertaining
game. And by the way, I gotta say, the Death Star looks like it'd be a hell of a fun time.
I'm going to see the Rolling Stones there in November. I am. I'm going to be in the Death Star in about a month. Yeah.
Oh, shout out Charlie Watts.
Yeah, always shout. Actually, you know what? On that note,
okay.
Why don't we transition now? It's the final segment of the show, of the podcast, and this is time for the musical assignment. Now, Kaler's out doing Lover's documentation.
Engagement photos.
Engagement photo. Will we see these photos? Are we going to actually see them?
Not only will we see them, we're going to post one.
We might have to analyze them on the air, review them.
We'll post one for our listeners.
Yes. On the page?
Yeah, we'll
send Facebook page? Can we put it on Facebook?
Yeah, totally.
You want to see Shannon in Love? I'll show it to you.
Oh, my God.
God bless the two of them. They're not like love.
No question. Happy for them.
So... would you like to present the assignment? I'll do whatever you want.
Something that we just came up with.
Yeah.
In the pre-show podcast meeting that we do every week, we have these
extensive, long conference rooms.
It's like the writer's desk at SNL.
Big arguments we'll get into.
Totally.
We'll fight. We had to break this up. Then we come back. It goes on for days.
We pitch ideas. They get thrown in the trash can.
I reject them. Sometimes we reject them. I don't like what you're saying today, Tony. I don't like the way you're dressed. Blank you. Then we leave the room. We come back. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Anyways, we're riffing.
It would be funny if it did.
We were basically talking about Jimmy Garoppolo. And that he's basically a class act, and that he plays the game with class, and that he's handling this whole situation with class.
I give him a lot of credit for that, man. It would not be easy to do.
And
this.
I appreciate it.
If you had to train a guy to take your job and then talk about how great he is, you'd be like, okay.
Like you were saying, he's put in this position, and he's handling it so well.
Yeah.
And he's being such a team player. He's put his ego aside, and we were talking about just the class of Jim Garoppolo, and it made us think of classy musicians.
Nice.
Classy rock stars, right?
Nice.
And so I, if you want me to start it or you
sure,
start it.
Sure, I'll go either way. What would you like? Honestly, tell me what you'd like.
You know.
You want me to go first?
Sure.
Let me go first.
Sure, you felt that.
And I'll tell you why, because I feel like I have a good one for you right off the top of my head. I just saw Patti Smith in concert last week.
Can you?
Mesmerizing, dude. She has a command of the stage that I was in the palm of her hand.
But you sent me a photo and a video from the Dream Inn in Santa Cruz.
It was a hotel. She played a pool at a hotel. I'm not kidding.
And the crowd was on the balconies of the room.
It was a socially distanced show. So the balconies, the rooms that are poolside all faced the stage.
Yeah.
Stage is right by the pool. I know it sounds crazy. So if you go to dreamin.com, you can see the footage. It's amazing.
That's so cool.
You sit on the balcony of your room, and she's 20 feet away.
Mm-hmm.
You're right there. Anyway, she played with a trio, and she was all class.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say enough good things about her. And she ended her set with one of my favorite songs by Patti Smith or anybody else. It's called People Have the Power.
Mm.
And the lyrics go, people have the power to wrestle the world from fools.
Nice.
Yeah, no, that's only part of it. It's a very, uplifting song.
Is that the first time that's not the first time you've seen her, is it?
It's the first time I've seen her.
Get out of here. Yes. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. It was very special.
Well, magical place to see her.
Magical, man.
Yeah.
And she writes a lot about the Dream Inn and Santa Cruz in her recent book called Year of the Monkey.
Nice.
She writes all about the Dream Inn.
Did she have dreams at the Dream Inn?
She did. And she writes about them. Like, I recommend this book. It's a really good book.
What's it called again?
It's called The Year of the Monkey.
Okay.
Like the Chinese astrology, which, by the way, I'm a Year of the Monkey guy.
Nice.
I was born in the Year of the Monkey.
I don't even know what I am.
68. I think you're like a dragon,
I'm 73.
Aren't you? Oh, you might be a, you check that out. But anyway.
I will.
We're going to go People Have the Power by Patti Smith, all class, all the time. So from Patti Smith to you now, Tony, it's up to you, kid.
God. Oh, Year of the Ox, by the way, 1973.
I'll take an ox.
You know,
by the way,
the ox.
John Entwistle of The Who, bass player, his nickname was The Ox.
Nice.
Creative Tony bass player, Year of the Ox.
I'll take the ox.
Go ahead now.
So, okay, I'm going to go. This is probably no surprise to you, Paulie, because you know my absolute love of this band.
Yeah.
And of this front man
I
of
hope
this band.
You say who I think you're going to say here.
Well, I'm going to go to the state of Kentucky.
Oh,
and I'm going to go to Louisville.
Yeah, you like that guy.
Who are you who are you thinking?
I thought you were going to say Trey Anastasio.
Oh, wow.
Because there's
certainly
nothing wrong with him. Like, he's a class act, too, man.
Trey is.
The fact that he lives on the Upper West Side of Manhattan now, to me, opens up a whole
people
new.
People see him walking around town all the time.
There he is.
Yeah.
The redheaded Italian.
The guy is living with so much joy.
Steven.
And spreading so much joy. The whole band is spreading so much joy these days when we all need it a lot. He wrote a song called I Never Needed You Like This Before, and he wrote it in his apartment, I believe. And he wrote a ton of music.
He probably is a really small place.
He was filming videos of him, playing percussion on glasses.
Anastasio?
And singing on top of them.
Yeah, let him.
Exactly. Phenomenal
stuff. Play your glasses.
Yeah. So shout out Trey. Thank you for all the love. Shout out Fish. Anyways, they're my guys. But I'm gonna go with My Morning Jacket. This band.
You
first
are
of all,
a big fan.
Oh, I'm going to see him at the Greek next Saturday.
Nice, dude.
I can't wait.
Yeah, yeah. It's
I
awesome.
Cannot wait.
Yeah.
The Jim James is a masterful lyricist and great musician. The whole band is fantastic. But they recorded at a recording session at Stinson Beach, and then they made two albums out of this recording session, The Waterfall and The Waterfall 2.
Yeah.
And in interviews, hearing Jim James talk about how his love for Stinson Beach and his love for the Bay Area, especially the Bay Area.
Does he live here now?
No, I don't think so.
He should. Get a place out here, Jim.
I'm not sure.
Come join us. We'll go to Giorgio's. You know what I mean? Seriously. We'll show him again. We'll get him a pie.
Get him a slice of Giorgio's.
Walk
That's
him
great.
Over to Green Apple. Do some shopping.
That is fantastic.
I still ride with the Richmond, Tony. Shout out Richmond District.
No question.
Yeah.
That was my favorite neighborhood
in
for
fact,
years.
In fact, hand to God, true story. Last thing, I don't want to interrupt your thing, but right before I went down to Santa Cruz last week to see Patti Smith, first stop Giorgio's, picked up a pie for the drive.
Fantastic.
So
perfect.
I drove it down there. I ate a slice while I drove, and then I had the rest of the pie throughout the next couple of days.
See, and that's where you really got to fold your slice.
Yo, you got no choice now. I got a hand on the wheel. I got a slice.
You got to fold.
Probably breaking the law, but I was hungry.
Yeah, I was anti-fold until I met you.
Yeah, folding is big. You got to fold
is
up.
Good.
Yeah.
It's good.
You know?
But, so I'm going to go with the song off The Waterfall 2. It's called Run It.
Okay.
And it's a very simple track, but it's a funky little ditty.
And he's a class act now to go with your...
He's a classy lead man of a great band. One of the lyrics, if you ain't too kind, you ain't my type. I'm going to run you out the door.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't need that. Don't need it anymore.
Nice. I need more jacket, and I got to tell you.
You do, man. I do need more jacket.
Did you enjoy the Sound Summit the year Bob Weir and Jim James, they played together. They had the towels on their head. Remember how hot it was? They had, like, the wet towels?
Yes, that was, that was, like, two meetings of the minds that I, you know.
Yeah.
It was such a special.
It was special.
That may not ever happen again. Who knows?
I believe they went down to Sweetwater and did it again after the show, too,
really?
I think so.
No,
or maybe it was the night before.
Wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. I just like that those two worlds have crossed.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And the amount of respect that Jim James has and admiration he has for the whole Grateful Dead scene and
that's great.
Music
catalog. Are you a fan of his solo acoustic material, or would you prefer him plugged in and kicking?
Well, see, it's like Jekyll and Hyde again. The solo acoustic is pretty mellow.
That's good, though.
But then at the Greek,
he'll kick up a fuss.
Kick my ass.
Yeah, good. You need
they're
that.
They're going to kick
you
all
need
of
an
our
ass
asses.
Kicking.
I need an ass kicking. I got my ass kicked in Colorado for 3 nights. Now I need my ass kicked by my
orange
jacket.
The more ass kickings, the better. In the month of October, I'm getting my ass kicked all month.
And
like, literally all month.
And I haven't been to the Greek in a long time.
Saw Bobby and Wolf Bros there about a month ago. It was spectacular.
The best
You're
going
to feel so good when you walk in there, man. It's such a great feeling.
How about this? I'm doing a doubleheader. I'm going to see the Stone Foxes, Shannon's band, in Alameda at 5 o'clock. And then I'm going.
When is this?
The next Saturday, the 25th.
I might have to. Okay. I might have to try to get over there.
Don't tease me, dude.
Will he have the engagement photos available at the show?
It's an engagement show.
I would hope so. It's an engagement celebration.
To announce their
engagement. Yeah. Okay. Well, Shannon, we love you. We miss
you.
But you know we're breaking your balls. We got no choice.
Yeah.
Tony, thank you. Mm-hmm. Great job today. Classy musicians, classy football players. It all works for me. Mm-hmm. Giants are in the postseason. First team to clinch. God bless them.
So good.
And
amazing.
Then I guess I'll have to leave it at this, Tony. We've done all we can give.
Yep.
We've given you what we can. And onward and upward, y'all be safe out there. Encourage the unvaxxed to get vaxxed if you're asking me. That way I can go see Springsteen and the E Street Band.
Mm-hmm.
I need that.
You want a gummy, Paulie?
I do. I might need several. We'll do that. I got you. I got good hands. There we go. I got the pass. Mm-hmm. Gummies in hand. Time to go. I got to go, Stacy. We'll see you next week on the Paulie Mac Podcast. Cheers.
Bye.
You've been listening to Paulie's Podcast with Paulie Mack of KNBR's Murph and Mack Morning Show. This is the KNBR Podcast Network on KNBR, the sports leader.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival. Featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.